Welcome to part two of our conversation with Tori Smith Westhoff about growing up haunted. So it must have been like kind of a sense of relief after that. Were you almost wondering or expecting things to continue wherever you went?
No, not really. I actually thought I escaped it.
Yeah.
That was like, I guess in my brain, I thought once I get away from this house, it's like I am home free, baby. Like, sure. I don't have to worry about this shit no more.
Sure.
That's what I thought. But that's not how it was. And actually, the first house that I moved into, I just thought of an event where my dog was sitting there staring at the corner and growling. Mm-hmm. And that only happened one time in the first house that I moved to. After that my childhood home.
Sure.
But that was the only event, and that could have been a fluke. I don't know that was like anything paranormal. Nothing. I can't think of anything that happened when that event occurred that would make me believe that was paranormal. It was just kind of an odd thing, and maybe dogs are just weird and they do that. Sure. I don't know.
Sure.
But yeah, I will say that house, something that happened years later that I don't know if it's related. Mm-hmm. All I know is the experiences that I had in that house. And I also heard footsteps in that house too, a lot, by the way. Like I would be in one room and you would hear footsteps in another, but I would be the only one home. That did happen quite frequently. I have a friend of mine that was friends with the people that bought that home. Now, I didn't know that until years later. Like years later, me and this girl, we went to college together, and that's where we met and we became friends. And she was talking about, we were talking about ghosts, actually, and I was talking about this this childhood home that I had grown up in. And she goes, "Where was it?" And I told her the address of the house. And I was like, "Yeah, I could drive you by it." And she goes, "No freaking way." And I go, "What?" And she, that was somebody that she was friends with, bought that house from my parents. That woman died at 42 years old from a rare aggressive form of bone cancer in that home.
Interesting.
I don't know if it had anything to do with that. I know that also there was, they had children, and there were, like, I don't want to put anybody on blast, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But the teenage child suffered from a lot of addiction issues.
Okay.
I guess I would say.
Sure.
Was it beyond teenage experiment? I have no idea, but I knew that that was a thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if that had anything to do with whatever resided there. I have no idea.
Well, it makes you wonder.
I will say that I've thought enough of it to wonder.
Sure. I mean, one would, especially when things like that, if it's kind of a dark thing and it seems to be trying to pull somebody down, drain their energy, make them depressed, it almost kind of sets the individual up to self-destruct themselves. It's not the spirits that are necessarily like, here, have some more booze, have some more coke, whatever the addiction issue is.
Yeah.
It's more so, let me make you feel so horrible that feels like the only outlet that's going to be there for you because I've drained you in every other way. It does make you wonder, especially when you knew that there was a presence there that didn't seem to be all that nice all the time. At least one of the presences didn't seem to be that way. So when you did, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I know that the smells that I was smelling, the sulfur, rotten egg smell, the shadow figure that I saw, like I said, I never had anything touch me or hurt me in any way. Mm-hmm. But then when you have a perfectly healthy 40-year-old woman that gets diagnosed with a rare bone cancer and she dies from diagnosis to death was maybe 6 months.
Wow.
And she ended up ultimately passing away in the home. Mm-hmm. I think that was like a family choice. I don't think that that was it was expected that that's what was going to happen.
Sure.
Based off of her diagnosis. It makes me wonder if those events were connected.
Mm-hmm.
And actually probably, maybe at the beginning of at the end of the summer last year, I think, I was driving in that neighborhood and there was somebody standing outside of that house. And I pull over and I had a chat with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, do you ever have any weird experiences in that home?
Yeah.
And he kind of looked at me like I had two heads, and I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I really don't blame him.
Sure.
Like this random, like I didn't know who this guy was.
Yeah.
I just saw him actually, he was mowing the grass and I got out and I introduced myself. I'm Tori and I grew up in this house. This is my childhood home. And I was wondering if you had experienced anything in that home that you couldn't explain. And I said, I know it sounds crazy. Like, believe me, I know how it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, like, he looked at me like I had two heads. And then he looked at his feet and he sighed and he looked back up and he said, you know, like once or twice. And I said, well, if you ever want to talk to me about it, you're more than welcome. And I gave him my Facebook. Mm-hmm. And so far, I haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, you get the vibe that maybe somebody doesn't really want to have that conversation with you. And that's kind of how I was feeling.
Sure.
But I extended the invitation to talk to me if he wanted to. So
the chapter may not be closed on that house.
It may not be. Gosh darn.
So you continued.
I thought I was away.
You thought you were done, but surprise. So you had some peace in your residences after moving out of there. But you said later on the next or the three houses after that, it seems that things continued.
Yes. I honestly don't feel like it was the same thing.
Okay.
Like, I don't think that it followed me or anything like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just happen to be one of those lucky people that just gets all the ghosts.
Yeah.
I don't know. One of the houses that I lived in, I would hear wind chimes all the time and I didn't have any of them. And none of my neighbors did either that I could tell because I looked, because it was driving me crazy. I kept hearing, these wind chimes and things. And, then my youngest daughter was born, like, and that was really it as far as things that I would experience was the wind chimes. My youngest daughter was born my oldest child was born and she was in that house till she was about 3 years old. And she was the kind of child that like you just put in bed, you turned off the light, kiss and hug, and you're off. And she went to bed really well, never had any issues with her ever getting up out of bed. And I heard her like screaming my name one night. Like I laid her down and it had been like a couple of hours probably.
Mm-hmm.
And she was screaming for me. And it was just like one of those screams that you just go running. Like you don't ask questions.
Yeah.
Like you just go running.
Yeah.
And she was like crying and I was like, what is going on? Like, what's wrong? And she's like, Mom, there's a man in my room. And I said, and like, I immediately turned around because there was a couple of windows and I immediately turned around. I didn't see anything. I'm like, I don't see a man in your room. Like, are you talking about the window? She goes, no. And she points her finger to the corner. Excuse me. Sure. She points her finger to the corner of the room. And she said, he's right there. And I turned and I didn't see anything. And I said, are you talking about like inside? And she goes, Mom, he's right there. Like, and she is like petrified. Yeah. And I didn't see anything. And I never told her that I didn't believe her. Like, and I gave her hugs and mm-hmm. I gave her kisses. We turned on the closet light and I laid with her and we laid there until like we both fell asleep there. And I remember just sitting there staring in the corner and I was thinking to myself, I'm like, I do not know what this child sees.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing what she's seeing. And that is a very surreal, helpless feeling.
Oh, sure.
To sit there and I never wanted to tell her I didn't believe her because that's what I was told. Nobody believed me when I said it. And I knew exactly how that felt. That was the only instance in that house where she talked about like a man in her room. Mm-hmm. And, she never talked about anything past that, about any man being there. There was also another day where we were sitting down. We were sitting down to eat lunch. And the way that our table was, it was kind of up against a wall. And there was like three chairs or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she was sitting on one of the end parts. And she's sitting there eating her lunch. And she turns her whole body to face the wall. Like she turned her knees and everything. Her knees were touching the wall. And she looks straight up and she goes, hello. And she paused for like a couple of seconds and she said, I said hello. And then she turned back around after a few seconds and continued eating her lunch. Like she didn't just do that. I just kind of sat there and I looked at her. I was like, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
And she goes, nobody. I don't know if that was paranormal, but it was really odd.
Yeah.
We did start the process of moving shortly after that, not because of the activity, but because it was time to move into another house because the landlord had sold the house to somebody else. So sure. We had to find somewhere else to live. But yes.
Yeah.
And then we moved to our next new home. And there was one instance there, like I saw shadows all the time and that mm-hmm. They were just, and when I say shadows, I'm talking about very faint. It's not even as dark as like a shadow that you would cast on the ground walking outside in the sunshine. Okay. It wasn't even that dark. It was more of like a kind of like a hazy, very light, like if you weren't paying attention, you'd miss it type shadow.
Okay.
I never said anything to her about it. It's just something that I would notice every once in a while. Fast forward, from that point on, she always had to have like a nightlight on. Mm-hmm. So we had our nightlight going and I remember looking at the clock when she came in, it was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. She comes into my room and she is crying and I'm like, what's the matter? Like what's wrong? And she climbs up in my bed. She's like, Mom, I want to sleep with you. And I'm like, okay, like that's not a problem, but what's going on? Why are you upset? And she said, Mom, I'm upset because there's a boy in my room. And I said, there's a boy in your room. And she goes, yeah, there's a boy in my room. And he's crying because his daddy's mean to him. And I said, well, what's his name? She goes, I don't know. I just call him Shadow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
As a parent, you know, what's going through your mind at that second?
Like, I'm really freaked out. For one, I didn't really know what to do. One thing that I did notice about that house when I moved in, and I never thought anything about it until that moment. When I moved into that house, I remember it was a 2-bedroom home and there was closets, and her closet had a lock on the outside of the door. Mm-hmm. I didn't think anything of it. I flipped the door knob around. I flipped the doorknob around because I thought that was odd that there was a lock on the outside of the closet. No. I couldn't figure out why there would be a lock on the closet to begin with. Mm-hmm. I flipped the doorknob around with another doorknob, I guess I should say. I didn't flip it around to where the lock was on the inside. I flipped it around with another doorknob that didn't have a lock on it. Because I didn't want her to lock herself in the closet. And it was just, I don't know. There was just something about it that was odd.
Yeah.
I didn't think anything of it until that night when she came in to my room about a boy whose dad was mean to him. I immediately wondered if.
Yeah.
I mean, God forbid anybody ever did that, but lock their kids in there or something.
Sure. I mean, certainly that would go through your mind if she's kind of describing something of the sort of someone being mean, and then you discover that the lock is the way it is. That's not common. That's not, I mean, it could be something as simple as, we need to put a new doorknob up, and we have one in the garage over here. It's got a lock on it, but it'll work, you know, something like that.
Right.
You know, or.
Yeah. And when I moved in, that's what I thought. I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was odd that there was a lock on the outside of a closet door. I'm like, who would do that? That's weird. Mm-hmm. And I flipped it out with another door knob.
Yeah.
Just so nobody ever got locked in anywhere. That was just creepy to me. And I didn't want anything to happen. And I never thought any more about it until that night. And that happened probably about a year and a half after we moved into that house, probably.
Did the experiences continue for your children while you were in that house?
Yes. She, there were times where, she was, when she would get in to the bathtub, it would be bath time, and she would make me sit in there with her. Because she was scared to be in there by herself. She never really said why. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, is everything okay? I would ask her, is everything okay? And she's like, yeah, everything's fine. I was like, why are you so scared? She's like, I don't know. She never really talked about it, I guess, any more than that. She talked about shadow people before. And we would have a conversation about it. And I never told her that I didn't believe her. I we would just have a conversation about it. And I'm like, she would just kind of get it off her chest or whatever. And, you know, that would be that. And, you know, quite frankly, I didn't know what to do at that time. I had no idea. Do you just comfort him? Do you actively, try to figure out what to do? Do you try to figure out what it is? And that is actually the point where I started to really dive into the paranormal and try to find resources.
Yeah.
She was born in 2004. So, you know, by then, there was things out there, and people, sure. Psychics was kind of a big thing, and mediums and that kind of thing. So I actively started to look into, how to figure out what to do about it. Where do you even start? Do you try to figure out what it is? I had no idea that there was any such thing as paranormal groups, teams that would investigate homes. I had no idea that even existed at that time. No clue.
Sure.
And then I moved into, my house that I bought. At this point, I purchased a home. It was a 1920s home. It had been vacant for 5 years before I bought it. Mm-hmm. And it was a family home. Basically, it was I'm not really sure what you call it, but the the owners had passed away and it was part of like their estate or whatever. And then the kids decided that they were going to sell it. And so I bought it. We ended up updating the home quite a bit because it was like wall to wall wallpaper. It was very dated, but I was okay with that because, you know, I like things like that.
Sure.
I saw a full Bowie apparition in that house. I actually sat there and talked to it for a while thinking it was my mom.
And thinking you said
and
thinking
then when
it
I
was
turned,
your mom.
It disappeared.
Do you still think it was your mom?
No, it was not.
Okay.
Like looking back at it, like, cause I was sitting at the basement cause that's where we had all of our remodeling things. I was standing at the basement and I saw what I thought was her standing at the landing. Cause you would go up a set of stairs and, you know, take a hard left and go straight up another set of stairs. And it was on that landing. And I asked a question. I'm like, hey, do you think we could blah, 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 blah. What do you think? And then I didn't get an answer, but I could see it. I could see what I thought was her in my peripheral vision this whole entire time. And then I turned to look to see why she didn't answer me and it was gone.
Yeah.
And that's at the point that I realized that it was not my mom.
Sure. So when you're,
but I never lost sight of it. Like it was there the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then when I turned to look, it was gone.
Yeah. So what do you believe you have going on in your home now?
I don't know. Maybe I move a lot for a person. I don't know, but, I ended up selling that home and I moved into the home that I'm in now. Mm-hmm. And like I see shadows every now and again, mainly in like my little hallway. You'll just see like little blips every now and again. My oldest daughter, she heard somebody breathing one time. She said it sounded like a sigh. It just like somebody just breathed out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like I walked in there. She's like, I swear to God, I heard somebody breathing. And I looked around like, and I've heard things here and there, nothing like crazy. It's just like mainly just what people would probably equate to household sounds maybe.
Sure.
I've never heard anybody like breathing or anything like that. But yeah, she heard breathing. She's seen things, here before as far as like little shadows and blips. But nothing too crazy. Not like I've definitely had worse.
Yeah.
Definitely had worse.
Have you ever shared your experiences with your children of what you went through?
I do with my oldest. My youngest is kind of spooky. She gets scared real easy. And I don't know. I'm not really sure why that is. I will say that in the house prior to this one, the 1920s house that I told you about, mm-hmm. When that my youngest was born, when I lived in that house and I would see things in her baby monitor all the time.
Yeah.
At like little, orbs, I guess, but they were weird. They would hang out in the frame and like kind of, I don't know how to explain it, but they would kind of hang out in the frame and kind of like go around the screen. One of the other, things that happened in that house that was like really crazy this is like one of the points where I wondered if I was going insane.
Yeah.
I was laying in bed sleeping or getting ready to sleep. I wasn't asleep yet. And I heard the footsteps at the bottom of my bed walk up to the side of my bed. And I thought it was my oldest daughter. She didn't say anything. And I said, "What do you need?" And she didn't answer. And I turned around and looked and there was nothing there. And that happened probably 3 or 4 times, like during the entire 5 years that I lived there, probably.
Do you think that you are being followed by something, or is it just you have this sensitivity that is able to pick up on things that many others don't?
I don't think that I'm being followed. And the only reason why I say that is because like the feeling is different and the activity is different. like what I experienced in the house that I grew up in was nothing like the house, the 1920s house, or even the house that I'm living in now. It didn't feel the same, I guess is the best way I can describe it. I don't think that it was anything from that house.
No.
Either I am just really have a way of picking out homes and like maybe everybody has this, or I'm sensitive, one of the two. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Tori. A big thank you to her for sharing her experiences on today's program, and a thank you to you for supporting the program and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without it. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I am Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.